Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And did you notice how that passage began this morning as we began our worship from Psalm 89? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. You worked out this morning, as we continue our series, looking at the names and the character of Jesus, have you worked out what we're going to be thinking about this morning? Truth. We're looking at how we find truth in this day. And I want to challenge us about our sources of confidence in the information that we get as we come into this Christmas. I want to challenge that. I want to remind us of the damage, the destruction that comes when truth is not at the center, the damage of being misled by lies. And then I want to point to the one source of absolute confidence, of genuine truth that you can rely on, and you can encourage others to rely on as we come towards Christmas. Truth. Let's see where this takes us this morning. Who do you believe? What sources of information do you turn to? And what confidence do you place in them? What do you consider to be reliable, truthful? We live in an age where increasingly truth is often, when it comes out of someone's mouth, little more than opinion. And I want to challenge that this morning and its importance to us. Whether it is people who are reporting on a situation where warfare is taking place, or whether it is a politician explaining their choices of policy, it seems that words just coming out of people's mouths, so often stated to be the truth, are anything but that. Let's just think about those two areas for a minute. First of all, let's think about times of war. They say one of the first casualties of war is truth. Every day we're hearing reports, aren't we, from the Ukraine, from the war that's taking place out there. And both sides we hear making claims, and then we hear counterclaims. And who do we believe? Where do we get our confidence from in what's really taking place in those things? Well, I want to illustrate that through a video of someone whose job it is to try to report the truth in this process. A couple of weeks ago, Jeremy Bowen was interviewed. He was reporting for the BBC just after Russia had announced it was withdrawing its troops from Kherson. And in this video clip that I'm going to show you, he describes how it is so incredibly difficult to get to that place of truth.
There's often also a pattern, which is when the war is new and when there's that sense of shock that it started, you can do local deals as a reporter with commanders, and you say, well, will you take us up to your positions? And they say, yeah, come on. But after a month or two, what tends to happen, not just here, but in pretty much every other place I've been, but pretty much every other war I've been to, is that they get organized. Their information side gets organized. And so they put restrictions on what we do. It's not a sinister thing. This is what always happens. These days, in the 24/7 digital world, that winning the media war is critical for all sides. They want to get their point of view across. So they try and control what we do, and our job is to not be controlled. You know, strategists talk about the fog of war and trying to work out what the hell's happening. So personally, as someone who's, as a journalist, I've covered 20 or more wars, I'm not surprised that it is difficult to find out what the hell's happening, because it's always like that.
So there's someone speaking about the reality on the ground. And for us, we just get to hear what comes to us. And both sides make claims and they speak with such confidence. But how much of that is actually the truth? It really matters when nations are trying to rebuild and put the pieces together. I was really interested to find, as I happened to be speaking on this subject this week, that on Friday, the Archbishop of Canterbury was in Kyiv. And he was in an area around the city where atrocities are known to have happened against civilians. And commenting on it, this was his verdict. He said, "There can be no peace until we stop lying. You've got to tell the truth, however painful. There can never be a way forward built on lies." There's an insight of someone who recognizes that trying to put relationships together, trying to establish effective communications and communities just does not work when lies are at the heart of it. And so we have this phrase that is now well known, one of the first casualties of war is the truth. But of course, that applies to more than just wars where nation is battling nation, people against people. The whole of humanity is at war, isn't it? And it's a spiritual war. The Bible says this in 1 Peter, we read, "Be alert and sober-minded for this very reason. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." In scripture, the devil is described as the deceiver. That's his role. It is a fundamental part of what he does to cause disharmony, to interrupt, to undermine, to break relationships, to seed doubt, uncertainty, mistrust, and ultimately hatred. And he loves that. That's the business he's in. And that is taking place all around us, not just in a recognized war zone. And actually, anyone, therefore, with an agenda to put across can choose to abuse or to misrepresent truth. There is a well-known saying that refers to journalism that says, "Why let the truth get in the way of a good story?" And so we see stories that are just manufactured, that are fabricated. We have a well-known phrase that is used, fake news. Interestingly, of course, there are genuine stories that have been then twisted and molded, and lies are presented for whatever objective the person reporting it might have. But that leads us on into politics, because then fake news has been used as an excuse, as a device. It's used by people who don't like truths that have been spoken about them being reported. And so they simply spread doubt by saying, "Oh, but it's just fake news." Politicians do it. Nations do it. Organizations do it. It's a simple way to just throw in a moment of doubt. Donald Trump disliked being sanctioned by certain media organizations so much for posting what they regarded as unsubstantiated claims that he stopped using those media organizations and set up his own media network. Ironically, he named it Truth Social, and it gives him a platform where he can say whatever he wants to and invites others to do the same. How much Do you put confidence in the words of politicians, of reporters, of things generally that are spoken to you, to about the world around us, to you? I was going to share with you one Christian writer's very uncompromising assessment of our former Prime Minister Boris Johnson, but I just couldn't bear to talk about so many things that have been stated as truth and have been undermined and since reported as being unfactual. But you might think about parties that apparently didn't take place, but where police investigation meant that fines came into play. You think about even the catastrophe that hit our country with Liz Truss coming into government and the budget that was presented. And to the party conference, the words that were used to describe what was now coming was growth, growth, growth. Words that come out, spoken as if truth. And in reality, the international community judged it as being catastrophically bad. Anything but. These are the worlds that we live in. These are the things that we hear routinely. And they are things that just undermine our confidence in what comes next. Words are so easily put forward, but where is the truth in them? And does it matter? Well, my first challenge to us this morning is to challenge our mere acceptance of the words that are spoken to us by people in such positions of authority, and then our assumption that they represent truth. And to put that across, I want to invite you to join in a prayer. It's a prayer that comes through Lectio 365. I've got to say, it's encouraging when you seek to do something within a church, like the series that we're looking at the moment, and you start to look at these areas because you feel that God wants to say something to us about these deep matters. It's encouraging when you see other people also looking at exactly the same thing, whether it is the Archbishop of Canterbury commenting on the importance of truth and not lies, or Lectio 365, who through Advent have chosen to look at what the prophets say about the coming Messiah and what that means to us. Does that sound familiar? They even look at the very verses in Isaiah 11 that we looked at 3 weeks ago, where Jesus said, where the prophet said concerning the coming Jesus, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or hears with his ears. Remember that? He will judge with righteousness. The prayer that then came in Lectio 365 that we were invited to join in is highly appropriate for us this morning. So I'm going to read it out and we'll just be quiet for a moment. And I want to invite you to reflect on how this might apply to you when it comes to us listening to people and perhaps being swayed by things that are not truth. So pray with me. Lord, are there any ways I have allowed the spirit of the age to influence me unduly? Perhaps through advertisers, media influencers, or public opinion. In the quiet now, Lord, I ask you, Spirit of Truth, to reveal lies I may be believing and to guide me into all truth. Let's just take a moment. Lord, help us to find your truth in a world that seems so keen to build its future on lies. Help us to discern those lies, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So who are you guided by? Is there a particular newspaper or the BBC or Sky that you would go to? Do you recognize that it will have a particular view of politics, of social care, of immigration, of the NHS, of strike action, what is right and wrong, of prison reform, of Christianity, of faith issues? Does your morality, do the standards that you adopt, do those things come through the influence of television that you watch, the entertainment? Do those things influence your life choices? I believe we are all susceptible because in this world, through those things, as they are repeated again and again, that drip, drip effect has its impact. And subtly, Satan is having a field day. And it must begin with God's people to challenge ourselves about what we are listening to. So my first challenge to you is this. Don't underestimate how influential such sources can be and that gradual impact that they might have. And those things need to be challenged against the source of truth that in Scripture Jesus is represented and proven to have brought into this world. The Jesus who was filled with the Spirit of truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's the source through which we discover the God of truth, the Son who revealed him to the world when he came. The way and the truth. That's how Jesus is represented in John's Gospel. And consequently, life. And of course, that's the problem, isn't it? That when we're surrounded by lies, that it just wears us down. It sucks the life out of us because it removes our confidence. There is no other source that we can have of absolute confidence but the God who demonstrated his truthfulness again and again in Scripture, a Scripture that doesn't conflict. The Scripture that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into this world, those events recorded at the start of the New Testament, those events were the fulfillment of a promise that was made at the start of the Old Testament, a promise made to Adam, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Joseph, to Jacob, a promise made to David, to the prophets again and again, and fulfilled, evidence that the God of truth, who says he will do something, fulfilled it. That's the significance of Christmas. And 2,000 years after we have been celebrating Christmas, we can still point to that as being the reason, the thing that we celebrate, not the words that come from others who might give us leadership in our nation or in this world, all of whom, like all of us, are faulty, because we're limited by our humanity. There is no other source of truth that's so proven. And then, of course, Jesus spent his whole life declaring these things as he shared what the kingdom of God looked like, and he put it into practice when he spoke about things that were so radical, so different from what had been spoken of before, the things that we try to back away from. Of non-violence, turn the other cheek, love your enemy. How much this world needs forgiveness and needs these to be motivating factors, not revenge, not putting me first, nations have policies like that, don't they? America first, we hear about. Jesus came and said the absolute opposite. Put himself in a low position. So that's the first thing I want to remind you of as we go into Christmas, as we hear constantly things that you and I know are not true or cannot be guaranteed by any means as someone's viewpoint. I want to remind us there is one thing you can rely on, and that is the God of this world, who was shown through Jesus, was true to his word. His word in scripture is consistent, is faithful, and you can rely on him. That is your confidence. So do we know what's coming with our economy? Do we know what is going to resolve our health crisis? No, but we have a God that we can turn to who will lead us through today and into tomorrow and lead us to the next stage. Do we recognize the contrast, the absolute truth of the God who we come to? But I want to say something else that's really important that was echoed by the Archbishop of Canterbury, who on Friday said, you cannot build a future based on lies. And I want to go back to Ukraine again to make this point, but I'm going to go back to events in Ukraine almost 40 years ago, to events that changed my life. And I'm talking about the Chernobyl accident that took place. At the time, I was studying for a PhD at the University of Liverpool, looking at radioactivity and how it moved in the environment. And that weekend of the 26th of April, I had a sample on of background grasses. And I was looking at radioactivity, and for weeks I'd had to spend a whole weekend measuring one sample and just seeing a tiny little blip on the graph showing that there was marginal bit of background radiation there, and that was it. I came in on Monday morning and I put the sample in from the detector. I measured what was there, and there was an enormous peak that had never been seen before. And I thought my equipment was all wrong, and I didn't know what was going on. And in this country, none of us did, until we began to get information slowly coming out of Russia that a nuclear reactor at Chernobyl had exploded. Lorinda and I recently watched a Sky HBO TV series on Chernobyl, and it portrays the explosion and aftermath of the nuclear incident. But what it does, crucially, is it describes why information was hidden, why it was that technicians were asked to go out and inspect what they knew had happened, the explosion that had taken place. But because of the lies that were being told, technicians were asked to go and look directly into the exploded reactor to tell them whether it had happened or not. Firemen who were sent in, who were so close to this devastating radiation that their bodies literally disintegrated from the inside out over the coming weeks or days that they survived. Horrendous things because of lies and that were told. And so this series was put together to try to explain it. The opening words of the series were by the man who had the job of assessing what had taken place. And he was reporting on the system that just couldn't tell the truth. This is what he said. What is the cost of lies? It is not that we'll mistake them for the truth. The real danger is that if we hear enough lies, then we'll no longer recognize the truth at all. What can we do then? What else is left but to abandon even the hope of truth and content ourselves instead with stories. And as I look at our society and I see the brokenness and I see people giving up, I wonder if one of the problems of our society is people have given up on the hope of truth because we are used to just hearing people with empty promises. So as we look at a health service that is broken, as we look at social care that is ineffective, that is unjust, as we see people not giving us answers, I wonder if the bigger damage is, one, we're no longer able to recognize truth, and two, it just drains us of hope in anything. This Christmas, I believe we need to be encouraging one another and others to point back to Jesus, who is the source of hope and confidence that we can stand upon. Because at the moment, our society is breaking as people don't know where to turn to answers. In John 8, we read, as Jesus put it, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The only place we can turn to is his word, which has been proven reliable. That your spirit, the spirit of God within you, tells you is true, to look to the words of Jesus, the way that he pointed to look back to him. In this day and age, that's the truth that sets us free, that stops us from being depressed and downhearted when all around there are seemingly no answers to offer. Jesus, that's what Christmas points to. So I want to encourage us as we go to this period, think again, remind yourself, Jesus is the evidence that God is good for his word. He promised that he would stand by us. He would never leave us. That's the promise of the Savior that you know, who gave himself for this world, who then died for us, so that all wrongdoing could be taken on his body, so that then as he rose from the grave, we too could have a future that is more than just this life. The world needs hope, and his name is Jesus. So I want to encourage you, when things are tough, when you're struggling with things you're hearing, turn to the source of hope, who is Jesus. Let's rebuild our confidence, and let's not be ashamed when people want to say, why is Jesus important at Christmas? Point to the truth that he brings into this desperate world that's desperately so need of it. Let's pray.